One sat alone beside the highway, begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes.
From Corpus Christi, Texas, it's time for the Family Altar Program with Evangelist Lester Roloff.
When Jesus comes, all the tears are dried away. For he takes the glove.
And now for a continuation of yesterday's message, here is Brother Roloff.
For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
Can you imagine an old sinner completely out of joint with the Lord and away from God, off in the dark, and God coming and regenerating him and then reconciling him, see? Reconciling him to God and getting over in line and being part of his great family. You think about the blessing. There comes regeneration. And you know, I talk a little about the Reform School, and of course they're all running over. They're all running over. She said, Brother Olaf, I've already talked to two institutions about my little girl. Said, they don't have any room at all. They're crowded out now. They're crowded out. Talk about a breakdown. You talk about a moral breakdown in this country. But nevertheless, when you think about the regeneration, the reconciliation, now we call them reform schools. You remember that? We used to call it Gatesville Reformatory. They don't call it that anymore. They call them industrial schools for boys. Think about the change reformatory. They didn't reform. It was a misnomer. Dear friends, you take boys like back there. Stand up a minute. Show the folks in see. Fine looking boy. Travels with me. And I'm not ashamed of him. He's my buddy. He hunts with me or fishes with me and travels with me. I mean, he's no problem. You don't hear him cussing, smoking, gambling, drinking. I mean, I'd trust him anywhere. And I trust that when we've given him 1 year of real discipline and Bible teaching and character building, I hope he'll be able to stand anywhere against the wiles of the devil.
Amen.
But then that boy would be in the penitentiary tonight if it were not for the fact that we took him and loved him and presented Christ to him and the Word of God to him. But dear friends, he didn't need a reformatory. He needed a transformatory.
Right.
The Bible said, be not conformed, but be ye transformed. And that's the reason God's people, the community chest is not going to find the answer. The welfare department not going to find the answer. The psycho ward's not going to have the answer. The doctor hasn't got the hospital, the jail, the prison. Brother, we've got to get them transformed or born again. Only way to do it is get them into Christ and get Christ into them.
Amen.
There's no other hope. We're spinning our wheels, spending $6,000 on the boy go to reform school. And he comes out a criminal worse than he was when he went in. You know it's so.
Right.
Judge will tell you it's so. My, if God's people could just see. And of course, I mean, if the church, there was a time when the church was the Red Cross, Salvation Army, Community Chest, and all the rest. I mean, the church just met all the needs of the people. And to me, that's what ought to happen. Listen, the more we turn over, and I know I'm on the radio, but this is the truth. The more we turn over to the state, the more it belongs not to God, but somebody else. God didn't. Now, we turn our education system over to him. Look where it is tonight. And the two professors up here, you think they're in church tonight? Now, they drank a little glass of orange juice and probably a big glass of scotch. And really, I mean, to me, if I was orange juice, I'd have a fit. Can you imagine putting poison in there with something as good as orange juice, you see? And yet that's it. Oh, my soul. You talk about the stupidity of the intelligentsia of our day. You think of the dumbness of the spirit of the educated people today that do not know the Lord. You know why? They don't know Christ. And yet preachers have not preached to them. I thought about those two women and two men, husbands and wives. They seem so nice in many ways. And I thought some preacher's been preaching to them. They've been preaching. Some, they didn't preach to them. I tell you, I believe the gospel will still clean people up and out and send them on.
Amen.
God said to Moses, you know Moses, I mentioned this afternoon, he said, Lord, they about ready to stone me. I tell you, it's getting real hard around here. I mean, and what do you want me to do? He said, go on. Told him just go on. Said, go on! You know, the best way in the world to get in trouble is just stop and start talking with them.
Right.
See? I mean, just go off, leave them. Tell them, say, y'all either come on, I'm going by myself. I believe the preacher ought to keep on moving. Yes, sir, speak to the children. You remember over there in about the 14th chapter book of Exodus? And they were hemmed up, and old Pharaoh's coming, big old wheels is turning, and boy, they could see those swords are glittering, you know, in the sunlight. And they saw a mountain on this side, a mountain on this side, and the waves of the water in front of them. And the people came and said, Moses, I guess you got us into it. We've had it now. And God said, why cry unto me? He said, speak to the children of Israel, let them do what? Go forward.
Amen.
God never put a reverse on his children. All of them forward gears. And if you'll notice in the Bible, he didn't put anything going in the back, protect them. Brother, when you turn your back, you just allow to get an arrow in it. God's people are to face the foe. We're not to be cowards or sissies. And so, there comes humiliation. There comes condemnation. There comes consideration, reconciliation, regeneration. And then that sweet blessing. Oh, this is it right here. Justification.
Amen.
Brother, can you imagine, now both of us in the ministry, can you imagine of just us two fellas, knowing as much about me as I know, and you know as much about God as you know, to know that we're absolutely justified tonight.
Amen.
I mean, in the sight of God.
Amen.
I mean, we wouldn't be afraid to stand in His presence right now. Why? We're justified. Brother, that's the blessing.
Amen.
Justification. You say, what does it mean, brother? It means that I look to God as though I'd never sinned. Now, I know people that say, well, you got to keep the law to go to heaven. I mean, you're going to have to do this and do that and do the other. Now then, would you be surprised if I agreed with them and said, I believe that you've got to keep the law to go to heaven? You'd say, legalist! Wait a minute, I'm not through yet. Brother Olaf, have you kept the law? Perfectly. Every point of it. You say, have you kept the Ten Commandments? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You'd say, well, I don't understand. You hear you tell about how bad you've been, and you used to cuss, and you used to tell some, and you say you, and you use the Lord's name in vain, and yet you, now you turn right around. Oh, but listen, I just told you I'm justified.
Amen.
See, Jesus came in to my heart, and He kept it for me. I didn't keep it.
Right.
I mean, He's my justification. I didn't do it. I've been too sorry. If you ask me, do you think you're fit to go to heaven? Only in Christ.
That's right.
Only in Christ. And I got news for you, Buster. If you go and you're going just like I'm going.
Right.
Now, you talk about joining the Christian church or talk about joining the Baptist church and getting baptized a couple of times. Let me tell you something, brother. You're going to go to hell until you come to Jesus Christ.
That's right.
I'm glad the message is simple and plain. I'm glad that God said, but grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so there comes justification. Thank you. No wonder I'm happy. My conscience doesn't smite me at night. I didn't roll and toss last night. Oh, listen. I didn't have a pricking of a guilty, sinful conscience last night. Why? Because my faith was in Christ. And when I knelt by the side of that old bed, I said, I accept your invitation. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. I said, I'm not away. Give me rest. He said, get in the bed and go to sleep. And I was gone.
Amen.
He gave me a great big nice tranquilizer. Uh-huh. The Word of God. Took a whole chapter before I went to bed.
Amen.
Went over it right good, you know. Brother, why do you think you're going to rest when you don't go to Jesus to get it? A lot of you trying to take this unnatural rest. Some of you want religious rest. You can't. There's no rest in religion.
Right.
Some of you want church rest. The church can't give you rest. Some of you want works rest. And some of you want to have, well, I'm going to give my money and I'm going to do better. Dear friends, you won't get rest like that. You've got to go to Jesus to get it.
Amen.
Justification. That's not all. There's another. Now, this is where some people fail. This is where you miss your blessing. Sanctification. Every man that's regenerated, every man that's justified ought to be sanctified.
Amen.
People ask me all the time, say, Brother Walt, do you believe in sanctification? I'd have to be. Jesus said, Father, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. There's no way on earth to get people sanctified except through the word of God. Got to have the Word of God. That's the reason I don't understand how you expect to be sanctified reading the morning paper. I don't understand how you can expect to be sanctified watching Hollywood so many hours a day. You'll never be sanctified. You'll be condemned. You'll be whipped on the inside, and you'll be starved to death, and you'll be guilty of malnutrition, which means that your resistance will go down, and the devil's strength will come up, and the flesh will have the upper hand. And so you'll wonder, well, I'm defeated. Sure, you'll be defeated. You got to be sanctified. I don't believe in sanctification, salvation. I believe in salvation, sanctification.
Amen.
I don't believe in getting sanctified in order to get saved. I believe in getting saved in order to get sanctified.
Amen.
I don't even believe in living right to go to heaven. I believe you ought to live right because you go into heaven.
Amen. Right.
I don't buy my wife groceries in order to be her husband. I do it because I am her husband.
Amen.
I got a responsibility. I stood the altar down in Galveston, First Baptist Church, you know. And preacher, he just asked me if I did for life. I said, yep, do. I mean, he said, do you accept Marie Brady as your lawfully wedded wife? And you promise to love her and to take care of her in sickness and in health until this union you're now entering is dissolved by death? And I stood right there as a little old timid, blushing sort of a country boy, and I said, I do. Because I didn't know then what all that involved, but I'm learning all the time. But the best I know, I meant that. And the best way to prove it is just to live up to it by the grace of God. Ah, listen, dear friends. Then there was another night in my life. I stood in an old-fashioned altar. An old preacher. Anybody know Brother W.A. Cockrell? Yes. Precious old friend was preaching. He was teaching school in a little country school. He and his family would come out and pick cotton. Come out and pick cotton on our farm in the summertime. Brother W.A. Cockrell. And he was preaching a revival. And I tell you folks, you talk about getting that humiliation and that condemnation. I just thought I was gone. I mean, I just felt like it's just too late. I was just a country boy. I thought, oh me, Dad saved, Mother saved, Melvin saved, Edel saved, old Lester going to hell, sure as the world. That's right. Listen, each night during revival when I'd walk down out of the long hall, it seemed like I was going down to the electric chair. Seemed like my bed was my death place every night. Until that night, I walked down the aisle, reached out my hand, his big old cotton-picking hand reached out and got it. And I said, I do for life. And I meant life, too. I mean, I didn't have any life. I said, I'll do this if I get some life. Oh, give me some life.
Amen.
Lost and without God. Helpless and can't do a thing about it. And Jesus came on the scene immediately.
Amen.
That's right. Ah, I took that indelible pen of his and wrote my name, Lester Leo Roloff, in the Lamb's Book of Life. Brother's been there ever since.
Amen.
I noticed while he's writing, he didn't even have a eraser on the back end of that pencil.
Right.
Never will be erased, dear friends. Amen.
Amen.
Die for good. Die for good. I'll never hear that mournful sound, that tragic statement, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Oh, yes, he did. He saw me that night when I came. Fact is, he calls me to come.
Amen.
Yeah. And then listen, something else. That sanctification started then. Oh, brother, I sure had a lot of it to do, didn't you?
Yes.
Yes, sir. I had a bunch of my language, you know, and a bunch of my vocabulary had to be buried. They buried me over in the tank, you know. And I had some stuff had to go down. And profanity and some jokes and some, me. And yet, there she went. There she went. Folks, have you ever been sanctified? You'd say, Brother Roloff, do we believe in saints? Yeah, I believe everybody saved ought to be a saint. We ought to live like a saint.
Right.
That's right. It said, sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Be ready always to give an answer. The hope that's on the inside, you ought to be able to give an answer all the time. Everybody to ask you. Don't make any difference who it is. Somebody come up to you and say, Brother, are you a Christian? Yep. Thank God I am. Praise His wonderful name. How do you know you're a Christian? Put my faith in Jesus Christ, confessed I was a sinner. Got a reason. That's it. That's it. You ask somebody, are you a Christian? Well, I hope so. You ever heard that?
Yeah.
Well, I'm doing the best I can. Well, I got news for you. That'll never get you there. I wrote a little track one day on the best you can do won't do. And that's right. It's not do, it's done.
Right.
Oh, can't you see tonight? It's what Christ did. You know, religion depends on what you can do. Salvation depends on what Christ has done.
Amen.
It's all over! A fellow came around to preacher one day and he said, preacher, what must I do? What must I do to be saved? And preacher said, you're too late. He said, you mean I'm too late to be saved? No, he said, you're too late to do anything. It's already done. That's it. Got to just come and trust Him. Do you know what I'm talking about tonight? I mean, do you really down in your heart know that you've just committed it all to Jesus? Sanctification. You'd say, Brother Olaf, what do you believe sanctification would involve? It'd involve everything connected with you from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, including your shoes, your dress, your trousers, your shirt, everything about your hair, your face, your eyes, I mean, your rings. That's right. You say, what do you mean, rings? Huh? Well, if you're really sanctified, why would you want to hang a whole lot of high-powered diamonds on you to make somebody knock you in the head, and you could take that money and give it to the cause of Christ?
Amen.
That's part of my sanctification.
Amen.
You say, Brother Wolf, if I'd give you a $10,000 diamond, would you wear it? Why, not on your life. I wouldn't be stupid enough to wear it. If I somebody knocked me in the head and take that diamond ring, and there I would, and they ought to knock me in the head, I guess. You'd say, well, I think they're beautiful, beautiful in the eye. It's a waste of time and money, exposing yourself to trouble. Listen, dear friends, let me warn you something about this sanctification business. Don't have a bunch of stuff hanging on you that won't stay going through the rapture.
Amen, brother.
Boy, you talk about, there's not going to be much left to a lot of people if they go through the rapture. I mean, there's a lot of stuff coming off. God's people ought to be the peculiar people. Ought to be the simplest people in the world. Waste our money on a bunch of tomfoolery. God's going to call us to account one of these days. We're going to stand before Him one of these days. Oh, I somehow, when I get to reading over that book of Peter, you know, when he tells us about the women and how they decorate on the inside in order to win the husband of Christ.
Amen.
And I tell you what, I believe women, if you do exactly what that chapter says over there in Peter, you'll win your husband to the
Amen.
Lord. You just go ahead and measure it up. And I tell you, you don't have a right to claim that until you practice that. And when you get into it and say, Lord, I'll do anything on this earth to win my husband to Christ. He said, I'm gonna save him. God will save him. I tell you, you know the Christian life, it's a tremendously drastic life. Such a change from everything else, but it's such a wonderful life. No worry, no fear, no anxiety. I mean, no lack of peace. I mean, every day is a wonderful day. Just take it one day at a time. And you know God's going to supply all you need. Said He would. And He said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things, they add to you. That's good. And He said, all things are yours. And He said, blessed are the meek. They're going to inherit the earth. So that keeps me from buying any of it. Amen. You'd say, Brother Wolf, I've saved you 1,000 acres of land for $2.50 an acre. I said, fiddle, why should I buy it? I'm going to inherit it after a while. Man, I don't need paying for your land when God's going to give it to me.
Amen.
Bible said, blessed are the meek, they're going to inherit the earth. You read that over there. And dear friend, you get interested in all this, I'd have no interest at all in worldly property unless we can use it to help somebody. I do not want to be tangled up in worldly affairs.
Amen.
Bible said, be not yoked together with unbelievers, and He said we're not to be entangled with the affairs of this life.
Amen.
And most people are so tangled up that they don't have any freedom and liberty to serve God.
Right.
I tell you, let God supply your needs tonight. Bless His wonderful name. He'll never fail you, never forsake you. All right? Humiliation, condemnation, consideration, reconciliation, regeneration, justification, sanctification. And sanctification to me is a great message we need to preach. I mean, we need to warn our people there to be clean. Women have no right to dress like the world.
Right.
You have no right to let Hollywood determine how you dress. Men and women need to be different that are saved by the grace of God. Your children ought to be different. They ought to be different. God's people ought to be sanctified. Now the last thing, and this is the climax, this is the apex. We're climbing the last hill now, and that's glorification.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Now, this astounds me here. I mean, this, and it stretches, and I've got a great imagination, but this stretches my imagination. I mean, this just absolutely pulls me out of myself to think that one of these days I'm going to be glorified with Him and in Him. I mean, I'm going to even have a glorified body.
Amen.
Because the Bible said over there, I just got through memorizing that chapter when He said, our conversation is in heaven from whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body and fashion it like unto His glorious body. Think about that.
Amen.
I'm going to be glorified with Him one of these days. No more sickness, no more death, no more sin, no more sorrow, no more weeping, no hospitals, no wrecks, no cemeteries, no undertakers, no hearse wheels crawling gently down those golden streets. Folks, you can just say what you please. I believe that day's just ahead.
Amen.
And I'm going to heaven. Now, we got a lot of people who don't look like planning on going, but I'm going anyhow. And I'm going to enjoy heaven. And I believe it's just like the Bible said. It's going to be a place where God's people, every one of God's children, going to be there. I've always wanted to be around a lot of God's children. And I enjoy and I live among them and go among them every week to roll around. Sweetest people I've ever been around in all of my life. And I tell you what I can do tonight. You give me 100 of God's children. Just give me 100. Just pick them out. They're God's children. And then just go pick out 100 of the devil's crowd. Get 3 impartial judges and then just see what they say about them. I believe you'll say, well, they smell better, look better, act better, walk better, talk better. God's people. Just let me cast my lot with God's
Amen.
People. Now, you can choose that other bunch if you want to. I love them. Pray for them. Want to see them saved. But think about getting to heaven where all of God's people are going to be.
Amen.
Then you'd say, Brother Wolf, you think you'll recognize your mother? Recognize her. Man, I'll recognize her miles away. But dear friends, when she sees me this next time, she won't just lift one hand feebly. She'll raise both of them.
Amen.
Oh, listen, that old foot that we had to pick up so many times, it was dead. Dear friends, heaven's just around the corner. Just around the corner. And you and I, by the grace of God, have access to heaven if we have access to Christ. Brethren, consider Jesus. You'd say, Brother Olaf, would you tell me how to go to heaven real quick? I want to know how to go to heaven. Number one, first of all, confess you're a sinner because all is sin. Number two, just go ahead and confess you can't do one thing about it. I mean, you're hopelessly lost. You're condemned. And I'll guarantee you there's nobody on earth can save you. You can't save yourself. But there's somebody in heaven can save you. Number three, just admit that Christ died for you. I mean, He died for you on the cross. He paid for your sins with His own blood, bore your sins in His own body on the tree. And then number four, you better receive Him today because this is the last day that God ever promised to any of us right here. He never promised us tomorrow. God never did tell me that I'll see the sun come up anymore in Texas or anywhere else. But He said, son, do your best today. Do your best today. This is it. Today's the day of salvation. Now's the time. No, as my mind races back across the years, I see faces now sitting out. One, I just saw him sitting in Dallas, Texas. In Dallas, Texas. There he sits right out there, third seat from the front. I talked with him. They brought him early to see me. He was a man of sin. I went in the office and I prayed. I got out on my knees right up close to him. And I reached out to get his hand to say, will you somehow seal your vow to Jesus and trust Him and receive Him. He said, no, not now. Not now. He said, I appreciate your interest. And an old uncle sat there and pled with him and wept over him. He came on in, sat on the front third seat and preached the message that night and gave the invitation. And I looked at him and he stood there, shook his head in the wrong direction. And I'll tell you this, after I said amen at the close of the service, in just that many minutes, I mean just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes, he was in eternity. I mean, he never even had time to say, have mercy, oh God, I'll receive the Christ the preacher mentioned. His life was slapped into eternity by a car. He'd say, Brother Walker, yes, it really happened. Folks, today's the day of salvation, and now's the time.
We're happy you've joined us today for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff. Our message today was entitled Life's Main Consideration. Now, to receive this message on a CD, ask for offer number RO2461 and include $10. That'll be $10 for this particular message, Life's Main Consideration. The address is the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. And to use your credit card, call toll-free 1-800-772-7507.
When sin and strife came in my life and took control, I knew that nothing I could do would save my soul. I brought my heavy load of guilt to God in prayer. He laid my sins beneath the cross and left them there. I'm living now.
For our special offer for August, we have a recording from the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises Library. I believe that you'll receive a blessing by these inspired messages and song. To receive it, ask for offer number RO830. The title of the album is Unspeakable Love.
Since Jesus came and took my shame beyond a doubt, I've just begun to see what life is all about. I've moved up on a higher plane where joys abound, and from this mountaintop of love I won't come down. I'm living now.
The Sunshine Quartet sang and traveled with Brother Roloff in revivals for many years, and some of the titles of the songs are God's Last Altar Call, I Still Like the Songs That Mama Sang, Victory Was Won, Hold On, and many more. When requesting this CD, ask for offer number RO830 and include an offering of at least $12. Permit me a moment to encourage you to help lift the financial load this summer. We certainly do not want to cancel any of the radio station, but we want to keep paid up with our bills, and sometimes that is a little bit tough, so we definitely need your help. Now, to use your credit card, call toll-free 1-800-772-7507 or write us at the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas 78403. This is Gene Price thanking you for your help and love and support this summer. And we'll be looking forward to being with you again here on the Family Altar Program.
The strangers to God, His grace and His love, were gathered by blue Galilee to listen with joy to words from the lips of the stranger who sat by the sea.